Hello, sports fans. This is Grit and Glitter, a weekly podcast dedicated to the power of women's wrestling. This is the season 12 season premiere. It is April once again, and that means it's time for our newest annual tradition here at Grit and Glitter, the annual women's wrestling draft. Every April, we get together, four people compete to see who can draft wrestlers from various promotions to build their own rosters. Who will make the strongest roster in your opinion? You vote and you tell us who wins.
That's right. It's draft day. I don't do like any fantasy sports, so this is as close as I get to like a fantasy draft.
Do they do this in actual sports? I don't know anything about sports.
I don't know any sports. So the only draft I know is from wrestling, and that's probably a bit of a bastardization of what it is in regular sports. So
yeah, they actually do this.
This is
in
my first time.
In bad.
They do this in handball?
Yeah, you're not a part of the handball.
You're telling me that the National Pickleball Organization does the same thing every year.
I know in the UK on football, like our soccer, they do like something called like a transfer window, which is kind of like a draft as far as I understand it, but I don't know anything about it really, so I might be talking shit here, but it's kind of similar apparently.
Okay, we'll have to look into that, and then maybe next month we can have the first ever Grit and Glitter transfer window.
Yeah.
This year, it is the 2024 Women's Wrestling Draft. Let's meet the competitors. Up first, from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, it's me, Harley Vasquez, co-founder of this show, noted babyface enthusiast. Up second is, of course, my partner in crime, M. Fear, weapon of choice, the bubble gun.
That's right. Which is coming with me to like every show that I can take it to now. Like, best idea ever. My good friend brought them for us for the weekend, and they were brilliant in thinking that. So yes, now the bubble gun is a fixture. When it makes wrestlers that happy, like how could we not?
Yeah.
Number three, from Ohio, she is the founder of Women's Wrestling Watch. It's Tess Schmucker.
Hello. Yes, I will also call myself a heel enthusiast, so this ought to be fun. And I think the only thing I'm really known for right now is being the one that started the No More Indie God movement at AIW with like 120 posters passed out at one show. So me and Matt Cardona got beef.
You and Dawn hate Cardona.
And fourth, from Wales, the country, not the animal. She is the publisher of Gravy Bowl, a women's wrestling zine. It's Meg James.
Hi. Yeah, I'm Meg, and I just hope both teams have fun.
Very kind. Very fair.
Yeah. James is like, I'm just going to go right down the middle. You know, I'm not picky. I just want to have a nice time, whether that's heels or faces. I'm just here for a nice time.
All right, for first-time listeners, for people who don't follow sports, this is our annual draft. I will go through the rules, but first I will say, this is a new tradition here at Grit and Glitter. Every April, we are going to do this now. Last year was our first. Last year, in the inaugural edition, it was me, M, Brian Bell, host of LGBT in the Ring, and Kristen Ashley of PWI competing. Brian walked away with the victory in that contest, which... always humbling to lose on your own show. So Em and I are both fighting to get our first W this year. But we have some stiff competition here in Tess and Meg. As I said, Meg is in Wales, 5 hours ahead of us, 5 hours into the future. Yeah. So she already knows all of our picks and all the moves
we're
going to make.
Yeah. Yeah, I have to change a few of mine around. And yeah, based off what I know you guys said 5 hours ago. So I'm really, really confident in my picks now.
So the gameplay is as follows. Each of us take turns selecting wrestlers in different categories, one name per category, with the goal of creating the best overall roster for our fictional promotions. Turn order will be decided at random, thanks to a little website that I have. For each of us, we can choose in any order that we want. So you can start with whatever category you want, you can start with whatever area you want, and jump around where you see fit. For the purposes of this, all active wrestlers of marginalized genders are eligible. So any women, any non-binary wrestlers, if they're out on injury right now or just not being featured on TV at the moment, that's fine. They're still eligible. If they've retired and, you know, left the company or they're working backstage, not so much. Our six categories are WWE and NXT, AEW and ROH, TNA, Japan, the Independents, and Wild Card. For the purposes of this, Japan refers to wrestlers who are currently active in Japan. So someone like Asuka or Kairi Sane would not be eligible in this category, but anybody from Stardom or TJPW or someone like Miyu Yamashita is eligible. In the category of the Indies, that's basically just anybody not signed to one of these major companies. So that can be an independent wrestler from America, Canada, Mexico, Britain, Australia, wherever you see pick. Wherever you see fit. Of your six draft picks, we are saying one of them has to be a tag team, and one of them has to be somebody on the broadcast team. So either somebody who's going to be doing commentary for your show, backstage interviewers, ring announcing, maybe be an authority figure, something to that extent. For your tag team pick, we're saying it has to be a duo. You can't draft like a five-person stable. It has to be two people. And it has to be people who have a pre-existing relationship. So again, you could take Dakota Kai and Asuka as part of Damage Control, but you can't say, I'm going to take Bianca Belair and Becky Lynch, because that's not really a tag team. And cis male wrestlers are allowed as part of a duo. So if you have a mixed gender tag team, then we will allow a wrestler to be included. So a tag team like Bussy or Kings of the District are eligible as the tag team pick. So WWE, AEW, TNA, Japan, the Indies, and Wildcard. Wildcard is just basically a free bonus pick of any category. So a second WWE wrestler, second AEW, whatever you see fit. And I believe that's it for the rules. Did I miss anything?
I think so. I think that's good.
Okay, so the website random.org is going to decide the order that we play in. We are doing this in snake order. So the order is Meg, M, Tess, and then me. That Woo-hoo! Is our starting order.
Ha ha, eat it, Harley.
As I said, though, snake order. So round one, Meg, M, Tess, Harley. Round two, Harley, Tess, M, Meg.
Eat it, M.
That is our order. And I think that is all we need to kick things off. So with the knowledge 5 hours from now of how this all turned out, Meg, you get to make the very first pick of the entire 2024 draft.
I'm so glad I got in first, because I had one pick that I was really, really worried about, and I was like,
Mercedes
I'm
Monet.
First. No, it so it's actually not. It is from the AEW ROH category, and I've gone for Athena. I know, I feel bad already. But you know, I had to go for her because I truly think she's one of the best women's champions, just best champions straight up that we've had in recent times. She's an absolute workhorse. And she's just incapable of having a bad match, a bad segment. She's just always, always on, you know, she's always out there doing incredible work. I almost picked Mercedes because, full disclosure, Mercedes is my favorite wrestler ever, and I think she's incredible.
Meg, same.
I adore her, and the only reason I went for Athena over her is because I just was looking at Athena's body of work, not to say anything against Mercedes's body of work, because obviously it's incredible, but if there's a, I was looking over kind of the last kind of calendar year, and I was like, that is the woman who has kind of had me compelled the most. So my pick is Athena. I'm so sorry. I had a lot of reserves for this category because I was like, that's my one that I'm, of all of them, that's the one I'm the most worried about. So my first pick is Athena.
And she's already proved this past year that she can anchor a division, that she can be the top star, because she is the top star in ROH right now. You know, Eddie Kingston was never around when he was champ. Mark Briscoe would probably be around a bit more, but still, Athena is the face on the poster.
Yeah, and like, I don't know how it is over in the US and in Canada, but it's unbelievably difficult to watch Ring of Honor in the UK unless you've got Honor Club, which me and my partner do have. But yeah, I just, people are talking about her and people are, you know, rightfully giving her flowers because she's like always been able to go. Do you know what I mean? She kind of brings that veteran vibe as well. That was the other reason I wanted to go for it, because she's not just had an amazing body of work in the last year, but she just has an amazing body of work, full stop. So to have a good veteran on my roster was very important to me. And having Athena on my roster was also very important to me. So yeah, she's my pick.
All right, Em, your number one draft pick.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and scoop these up. I'm going to factor them as a tag team because they have both worked as a tag team and also are in a faction together. And prior to recording, we were talking about, like, I was realizing that my draft picks needed, I need more heels in my draft. So inspired by Tessa's mention of Damage Control, I'm snapping up the WWE tag team of Io and Kairi. I assume that they tag together. I have been following very closely, but I feel like being in the stable together, having tagged together, currently working together, I feel like that counts. And you really cannot go wrong with these two wrestlers.
Yeah, it's mostly Asuka and Kairi teaming together these days. But there's, but like we said, they're all four of them are part of Damage Control, so they're all eligible to be damaged up.
Yeah, and I think... Go ahead.
I said free bird rule.
Yeah, I feel like that like falls under that. And like, I wasn't entirely sure if I wanted Asuka Kairi or Io Kairi, but for me, I couldn't resist the like throwback to, you know, years ago Stardom, and for me, I always will just consider, I will always think of Asuka more as a singles wrestler in her prime than a tag team wrestler. So yeah, I'm stepping up Io and Kairi as my tag team of choice.
All right, Tess, your number one draft pick.
Okay, I was worried that this was going to be the first one picked, so I'm snagging her now. My WWE pick is also my announcer pick, and it's going to have to be Samantha Irvin.
Oh, hell yeah. What a bad.
Yeah, I had to grab her fast. I've loved her since the moment she got on main card and I started hearing her announcing. And then this last week, her, she just got so much praise from a lot of important people, on social media and otherwise. And I made a statement on Twitter that I 1000% believe last weekend, where she did, you know, I think she did all four shows. I know for sure she did all of both days of Mania. But in my opinion, she solidified herself already in the Hall of Fame. So I had to grab her.
Can't argue with that at all. Like, the smart pick.
Yeah, she is absolutely incredible. Like, just she, And to do all that at Mania as well, I think like people can kind of cast off ring announcing as kind of like an easy job, but like she must have been under so much pressure, do you know what I mean, to really deliver, to do every single match on the Mania card. And yeah, she was just incredible. So amazing pick.
Oh, for real.
And I love that she doesn't go ahead.
Oh no, I think I'm going to be saying something similar to what you're about to say, but like, I really value ring announcers that allow for like emotion to come out in the way that they announce. It's one thing to just have a bombastic, like broadcaster-esque voice. It's one thing to have like a very like big presence in your voice, but it's another thing to like imbue that presence with emotion and feeling. And she does that so, so well without ever compromising the clarity of her announcing. It's just, it's wonderful. It builds emotion because you can feel it in her voice.
Yeah, and I'm just going to bounce right off what you said. It's exactly that. And I so appreciate and love the fact that she does not get any of the full rundown of the card. She knows who's coming out. She does not know how it's going to end. She doesn't know if there's run-ins. She doesn't know anything. She's experiencing it with the rest of us, and that's what makes her announcing so good.
Amazing.
Okay, so to conclude the first round, my number one draft pick, I guess, since, you know, Meg Blewett. I gotta take Meg's favorite wrestler. In the category of AEW, I'm gonna go with Mercedes Moné. I mean, highest paid, reportedly, highest paid woman in the history of professional wrestling. There's a reason for that. We haven't seen her wrestle in AEW yet. We barely got a chance to see her wrestle in Japan before things happened. She got injured. But there's no reason that she can't be. That she shouldn't be the star, the top face of a company for the next 10 years. You know, she can be the Bryan Danielson. She can be that role for any company. She's got the passion for it. She's got the attitude, the look, the charisma, the in-ring skills. She should be somebody. She's clearly somebody who like cares passionately about pro wrestling, right? She came up from the indies before she joined the WWE. She made the decision to walk away from WWE because she felt creatively unfulfilled. And felt like disrespected, and I just respect that so much as a person. So I don't see any reason why, like, when she retires 20 years from now, she can be backstage helping shape the next 20 years of pro wrestling after that. Like, it's just, she's everything.
She is, yeah.
Okay, so round two, and as I said, snake order, now we reverse it, I get to go again. Looking at my list, the category of broadcaster is always a little bit, that's like the scarcest one, right? There are literally, we read PWI, there are hundreds and hundreds of incredible women wrestlers out there. But in terms of like female broadcasters, commentators, ring announcers, there aren't that many, even including non-binary people in that category, there aren't that many. The major companies have like maybe one or two. You know, usually a woman backstage who holds a microphone, asks one question, and just stands there for 5 minutes while the wrestler talks. So I'm going to grab my broadcaster pick early because I would be shocked if nobody else had Veda Scott on their list.
Oh.
I purposefully...
She was a backup for mine.
I purposefully did not pick her because I knew you were going to pick them. So, yes, like... They were on my radar and would have been my list, but I was like, I'm not gonna take that from Harley, but also I'll probably lose them to Harley.
Yeah, the category obviously is the indies because right now there's nobody more independent than Veda, just traveling everywhere, calling the action for any promotion you can think of, from Stardom down to like the smallest indies. One of these people that whenever their name comes up on our show, it's just like, why aren't they full-time anywhere yet? Why hasn't TNA made them, like, the voice of TNA on the commentary booth, like, or any of these other companies? Like, what are people waiting for? I don't understand some of these big companies. I don't know. I don't know if it's politics or just, like, personal preferences or what, but there's so many times I look at these rosters for these big companies, and I'm like, why are these dozen people here signed when there are, no offense, 20 people on the indies that I think are so much more charismatic and interesting and beloved. Baffles the mind.
I think as well in the major companies as well, it's so rare to have a commentator who's not a man, like when you think about it. I know Thunder Rosa, I think, has done some Spanish commentary for AEW, I think. But I remember when WWE had Beth Phoenix doing commentary for the Mae Young Classic. It was just so refreshing to have a female voice there. And yeah, I can't lie, Vader was also, I thought somebody would snap Vader up, but they were also my pick, so.
Yeah, WWE tried out Renee on commentary for a little while. I think even Renee would admit, not really her forte, but you know, they tried it for a brief window. AEW has, what, 9 commentators on the roster or something like that? Excalibur, Taz, Shivani, Jim Ross, other people I'm forgetting, and not one woman. Like, instead of having the same person calling the action on 2 shows or 3 shows, why not have really distinct, make Veda and Taz the voice of Rampage or Collision? That'd be so fun.
Oh, I think Vader and Taz is actually my dream commentary team now I'm thinking about it. Like, that's just money for me personally, because I am a big fan of Taz. But yeah, I think just having more not male voices on commentary would be quite nice. I truly like that.
All right, Tess, your second pick, your WWE pick is off the board, and your broadcaster pick.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out who I really need to grab next. I think for the sake of the vibe that I'm going for, I'm assuming that they would count as Japan because that's where they've been. So correct me if I'm wrong. I want to grab Max the Impaler while I still can.
Yeah, I'll allow that.
Yeah, totally.
They've been over at Joshi Pro majoritively. So, I mean, that's where they've been lately anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I was supposed to have seen Max for a couple of matches over Mania weekend, and I think 2 of the 3 were Mania or TJPW ones. So,
yes, yeah,
that counts.
Yeah, they're tagged with Palm a lot right now, and like that's where like they've been stationed. They only really come over for NWA or like big GCW things lately, I've seen. So. Like, I was very stuck between Max and Maki, but I gotta pick Max.
I think you're going to get a very particular vibe with Max always. You're going to get some flexibility in some of the matches that you can throw them into. You're going to get a good vibe. Like, I think that, like, if you're building vibe, like, Max is bringing a big one.
That's what I'm trying to build, is a vibe. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Max.
Amazing pick. Max is incredible.
All right, your second pick.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and get my broadcaster pick. I don't know that it will be hotly contested, and especially since now 2 of you have gone ahead and picked. But I'm going to go ahead and snatch up Val Capone. One of the nice things about seeing people in person that you haven't seen before, even in like a ring announcing or commentary sense, is that you get a sense of their energy in person in a way that you don't necessarily always get when you're watching a stream. And I was really impressed by the energy that Val Capone brought into the Big A brunch when they brought her out to do ring announcing for at least one match. She just lights it up. And she's so good on commentary. She has great chemistry with Veda when they work together. But I was also really, really compelled by her in-ring announcing. So I feel like she's one of those people on the broadcast team that can, like, be thrown into multiple roles and shine. She has great personal style. She's got that, like, Renee Paquette-esque, like, you know, visual aesthetic that you can well translate to screen if I need to make my roster screen ready. I think she's a delight. So Val Capone, I'm snapping her up for my team.
I had Val on my radar hard, especially after doing, I sat right next to, like, within like 2 people of Val for Big Gay Brunch and Tokyo Joshi. And, like, her and I were just vibing, like her, me and Rosie were all just like vibing to like the music and the themes. reacting to everything. Like getting to meet Val was so wonderful because, like you said, it like that energy that you get from Val, especially getting to hear on the commentary finally, was so good. So, yeah, I'm jealous of your pick.
Yeah, I was delighted to see her in action in person because I've always enjoyed her on commentary and when I've gotten to see her on streams. But like, it's a next level when you see her in person. She's just like a big, like she's a light bulb. She just is like completely incandescent and glowing. And it's a really wonderful energy to be around.
All right, Meg, close out round two for us.
Okay, I'm also going to do my broadcaster pick now. This is going to be my wild card pick. My number one pick too, for all the reasons just outlined. She's just fantastic. But since no one else has snapped her up yet, I'm going to take Renee Paquette because she's so consistent. She's always incredible. She really brings a lot of personality to her backstage interviewing and everything she does. You know, I don't ever feel when I'm watching her like I'm just watching someone with a mic stand in there waiting for someone to finish speaking. She really brings emotion and personality into it. So, yeah, I'm going to go for Renee.
Yeah, the fact that even in WWE, where they are so scripted and the backstage interviewers are given so little to work with, her personality always shone through. Like, it always became clear that, like, oh, she, like, has her own little, like, smiles or her own little, like, sense of humor worked into things. I mean, I think what really truly put her on the radar was Talking Smack. Like, I didn't even watch that, but clips would go viral because it was her and Bryan Danielson just bantering and joking around and having fun, and you're just like, wow, she's so charming.
Yeah, there's a picture I've got saved on my phone, actually, from when she was in WWE, and it was when I think Samoa Joe was like having a bit of beef with FKA Dean Ambrose and brought up the fact that Renee was married to him, and it's just Joe yelling and she just looks so fed up, and I just find it to be quite a good reaction meme when someone is talking at me and I'm a bit fed up. But yeah, that's why I love her. She just brings so much energy and personality to everything that she does. And I, you know, she was amazing in WWE, not to like decry her work there, but I truly think she's done some of her best work in AEW. And I think that the backstage interviews at AEW wouldn't quite be as good as they can be if they hadn't snapped her up. So I think she's one of AEW's best acquisitions.
I agree, and I think a broadcast team, she is evidence of how important it is, because you can have someone who is good in that role, is perfectly serviceable in that role, and it's not going to be anything showy or flashy, but like it's going to get the job done, and you're not going to really pay that much attention to it either way. But you can also have someone who brings extra to it and adds value to that role because of what they're bringing to it. And in addition to all of that, she just has such good chemistry with the people that she is interviewing. She has great chemistry with RJ City. And so they've gotten a lot of mileage in being able to work those two of them together in various ways. With the amount of content that AEW produces, in addition to just like the wrestling specific parts of its show, it's important for them to have personalities that are not wrestlers who can do this stuff. And they have a really dynamic team in Renee and RJ.
And she's got a cookbook. Like, what's not to love? Like, she's you know, like, she's got things outside of wrestling, you know? And yeah, she released a cookbook. And it's like, yeah, go do that. You know what I mean? Like, you can do it all, you know? You don't have to choose between wrestling and making a cookbook. You can do both. So, yeah, she's amazing.
I don't say this of, like, a lot of people in wrestling because it's hard to make that assumption. But, like, you can tell she's a very smart person. Like, you really can. In the ways that she, like, in both her, like, wrestling-related career and her non-wrestling-related career choices, you can just tell that she has, like, a really sharp mind.
How does she not have her own cooking show on Honor Club?
Yeah.
You know, every episode she has a different wrestler guest star with her. Like, this week we're barbecuing with the Butcher.
Wait, didn't Brandy do that? Didn't Brandy have a cooking show?
I was going to say, yeah, oh, God. Brandy did something similar.
I'm sorry, I'm Brandy, but Brandy is like the inverse Renee for me, where like everything she does, I find cringe.
Brandy. Oh. Well, Well, that takes me to my pick.
I'm going to go for my tag team next. And this is in my Japan category. I'm going for Mina Shirakawa and Micah from Empress Nexus Venus. Full disclosure, I've only been into Stardom for about a year or so. And as soon as I saw Micah, I was like, yeah, that's my girl. Do you know what I mean? And I think her getting the red belt has been a really, really long time coming. And Mina can just do it all. Like, she can wrestle. She can be really funny. She's been doing this stuff with Mariah May on AEW recently. She's just so full of personality. And I had real trouble picking. I knew I wanted my tag team to come from Japan. I had real trouble picking. But yeah, I'm going for Micah and Mina from Empress Nexus Venus.
Such good picks. Like, I admit, when I did my tag team pick, I also wanted my tag team wrestlers to also be, like, you know, stellar singles wrestlers as well. And, like, because then you get, you know, you get both, right? You get more bang for your roster. So, yeah, in this sense, you have also picked, like, two, like, dynamite singles wrestlers who are also a really great tag.
Yeah, like, I'd watch either of them in a singles match or a tag team match, like, any day of the week. My second pick was Natsupoi and Saori from Cosmic Angels. And I had real trouble kind of picking between the two. But I think Mina on AEW this week just kind of tipped me over the edge. So I was like, yeah, I've got to go for those two, because they just, you know, they're really stellar wrestlers who bring a lot of personality to it. And yeah, it's amazing.
I am just so thrilled that people get to, like, see Mina Shirakawa on, like, you know, mainstream American wrestling, because it was really thrilling to see them set that potentially up at the Stardom show in Philly. And now, like, her actually making television appearances, it's fantastic. Like, everyone should know her. And now that they have a much greater access to Stardom talent than previously, I really want more American audiences to become, like, fluent in these women.
Mm. All right, Em, your third pick.
My third pick is, I'm going to take her before you can, Harley. I'm going to snap up our good friend and the just one of my favorite wrestlers to watch in any capacity, Edith Surreal.
That's your wild card pick?
That is my wild card pick, yeah. I don't know. I don't feel like I have to explain, like, if you're listening to this show, you're probably already a fan of Edith. Like, our listeners just love Edith. I want someone who has technical chops, and I want someone with presence. And I'm also trying to build a vibe. And I just feel like Edith would play really well with the other people that I have listed, including, like, who have already mentioned, but also the other people that I have coming up. I'm just taking her.
Well, there goes my tag team. Thanks.
There goes my indie pick, thanks.
I had a feeling we'd all be eyeing up Miss Surreal, so wanted to grab her before we were too deep in.
I'm just surprised you left Jordynne Blade off your list.
Okay, look, I had to pick a WWE. I had to make a WWE pick because my tag team was Kings of the District, but I didn't know how to incorporate the people I already had and also do WWE without having to, like, do some, like, last minute shifting around. And also, I needed heels. So that's kind of why, yeah, Jordynne's not on my pick yet. It is not in my roster. And I'm genuinely brokenhearted about it.
I know. In a perfect world, you could only choose people from the indies and not need any of those WWE scrubs.
Yeah, like, I don't want to have to put WWE people on my roster if I can use my perfectly wonderful, like, favorites from the indies. And yes, I am brokenhearted. Even in this, like, fictional draft universe, I am sad to leave Jordynne Blade out.
I was really looking at doing Edith and Jamie after this last week, because they were really good as a tag team together.
Yeah, they have some nice chemistry. That match itself was a little rough. I have a feeling that there was just a little bit of, like, little bit of ring rust that Jamie is dealing with. There's a little bit of off with that match overall, but I love their chemistry as a team, so I'm, like, excited for them to potentially continue tagging together. And them with Dark Sheik at the clusterfuck was like some of the most fun in that match.
It was so good.
Yeah, it was
amazing. That trio is just so much, so powerful in a like a elemental magic sense.
All right, Tess, your third pick.
I have like two people on here I'm really worried I'm not going to be able to grab. And my gut's telling me to go ahead and grab my wild card because only two of us have selected WWE people. And if I remember correctly, the rule said that it could be current or former tag teams. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's a history. I'm okay with you running an angle where they get the team back together.
I am going to have to go with the tag team that brought me back into watching WWE a couple years ago, and that is Live for Brutality. So I'm going to be snagging up Rhea and Liv as my wild card.
None of us grabbed Rhea.
I know. I was panicking the whole time. Trust me.
I didn't grab Rhea. Oh my god! I didn't put Rhea Ripley on my roster. That could have been my WWE pick. My brain is dead.
So my reason for the pick is yes, they only lasted like a month and a half. They had history before that. They had tagged a lot in like random mashups months before that. They have a history outside of the ring as friends. But my bigger thing is in the short amount of time they had, the draw that they gained in such a short amount of time, the amount of people that connected with one another on socials and everything over them, the like anguish everyone felt when they split, and the like the jabs people still make, the jabs Rhea makes, the jabs Liv makes, their feud restarting right now. Like, I think that they could work very well as both a face or a heel tag team. They had great chemistry in the ring. They have great chemistry in the ring, whether they're like tagging together or if they're opponents. So for me, and seeing how much that impacted, like, just the wrestling fans as a whole, getting to see that like alternative tag team together with their little flirty bits, I was like, I have to grab them. I'm going to have to grab them both. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Smart. Really smart.
All right, so my third pick is going to close out the first half of the draft. And this is tough. I've got a couple categories where there's like four people I want, and then I've got a couple categories where I'm really struggling to come up with anybody. Okay, let's go to Japan. And I would be a hypocrite after my comments on last week on the show. I said that I still feel in 2024 that Mayu Iwane is the best female wrestler on the planet. So I'd be a hypocrite if I didn't take her, the icon, the ace of stardom, as my Japanese pick.
Mayu's just one of those picks where it's like there's not even really a need to justify it. There's no wrong move there. It's just smart.
She can wrestle anybody. She can wrestle any style. She's great on offense, but on defense, she's just like she sells incredibly because she's just a rag doll. She's so skinny and she just like doubles over when you suplex her or slam her around. Her charisma is off the charts. As I said, anybody who knows me knows I love a good baby face, and I put her in like the Ricky Steamboat category where it's like she's never gonna be heel. It doesn't make sense. She's so great. She's so beloved. She's so like in her backstage promos. She's always like a little clumsy or a little dumb sometimes, you know, like she's always just like, if it's an afternoon show, she's always like, good evening. Or if it's like, she always gets like the name of the city wrong, things like that on purpose, but it's just like, it's charmingly like a little ditzy. And then anybody who knows anything about like her real life, you know, like she's like struggled with years of like anxiety and depression. Like was a shut-in for like 3 years or something like that. So how can you not like love her and respect her and just want to give her the world?
Like, absolutely. Like, love and protect at all costs. There was a like clip of her just this past year of her like in a post match or like a setup presentation like before like a big match. Like her falling off a stage, like clearly in like a bit, but like it was like done intentionally, but like it was so just authentically funny, and like her like natural her natural physical comedic chops come out in such interesting ways, because she's not a comedy wrestler, but she has comic ability in everything else she does in tangent to her wrestling. And it's just it's worth mentioning because it's not talked about enough with her. Like, it's not talked about how truly funny she is, in addition to being like a world class like iconic Japanese wrestler. Yeah, love her. Was of the members of Threedom, of the Sisters of Stardom, of that original trio, Mayu's just long been like my favorite, because I just feel like she is just like the heart and spirit of that original trio. She's like this like anxiety riddled, like lovable, like precious angel who could like wrestle circles around anyone else.
All right, that concludes round one. We are halfway through this thing. In the category of WWE, Em and Tess have made their picks. In the category of AEW, me and Meg have made our picks. No one has claimed any TNA knockouts yet. In the category of Japan, Em still has her Japanese pick left. Everybody else is on the board. In the Indies, Meg and Tess have blanks. I'm the only one with a wild card left. All four broadcasters have been chosen, but I still need a tag team. Everybody else has a tag team. I don't yet. So I think I'm just going to do the obvious thing, because I was really struggling to come up with a tag team, and I was really struggling to come up with a TNA pick, so why not just choose MK Ultra?
Shut up!
I knew it! I knew it!
Yeah, I could have gone with the Chantourage or Decay, but let's be real. You look at the Knockouts division, it's MK Ultra. And we talked about this off-air, folks. As far as we know, Killer Kelly is not, like, done with TNA. She's just, like, on sabbatical. So we said we're going to allow it.
Yeah, we're gonna operate in a kind of loophole situation here. But, damn it. That messes things up for me.
Yeah, it messes things up for me, too.
Yeah, me.
TNA, with their recent, like, just bloodletting of people, has left the Knockouts division in a rebuilding period. Not a bad place, and they're not, like, without stellar talent, but, yeah, it's definitely not the division it was a year and a half ago, when we could still say, like, very credibly that of the major wrestling promotions out there, they had, like, some of the, like, most consistent and strongest, like, women's booking. It's just, yeah, they lost a bunch of people. They are rebuilding, and that comes with, you know, comes with some aches and pains, and part of it is not a whole lot of women to, like, again, this feels unfair to say it, because they are, like, exciting, but it's just a matter of comparison that they're, tough.
Trinity and Deonna Purrazzo were heavyweights, you know, top stars, huge names, and it's just, like, no offense, but Zaya Brookside, Jody Threat aren't on their level at this point right now. It's not the same.
Yeah. And you have the old hands still around, and you have Steph DeLander starting to make, like, you know, make moves in TNA, and there's stuff built there, right? There's stuff to be excited for the potential of. It's just going to take a little while to, like, set in. For a while, we had just a run that was just incredible with the Knockouts division. You had Trinity, you had MK Ultra as champions. You had Deonna, and, like, you just don't have that fire right now. I love Jody Threat, so I'm not going to say that it's not exciting to have Jody Threat around. It just, yeah. It's not quite the same.
All right, Tess, you have your AEW, your TNA, and your independent pick still left.
Oh, I'm so scared. I gotta pick. There's two. Now that you did that with MK Ultra, I don't know who I want to grab first, my TNA or my Ring of Honor. All right, I'm going to play smart. I'm going to go with my TNA pick. Let me grab Jordynne Grace before she's gone, because I need some faces on my card. And I like Jordan. If you haven't noticed, I love people who are just powerhouses. I've always said that if I was medically cleared to train, I would be a powerhouse and submission specialist. So Jordan does that for me, I gotta grab her. So that'll be my TNA pick. Besides, there's lots of crossover happening right now.
Poor Liv Morgan is in for a rough time on a roster with Rhea Ripley, Jordan Grace, and Max.
Oh my God.
She stood up so far. She's the last person that tapped pinned Rhea Ripley. So I wouldn't put her out of it, but I have a feeling she's gonna have like a Ziggy Heim problem where she's gonna be used as a weapon a lot. So.
Yeah. You know, but it's a privilege to be the weapon of your larger tag partner.
It is.
Oh wow, yeah, she is. She's in quite some company there. I guess that's my pick. I want to get my TNA pick out of the way. I feel bad about saying like it that way, but now both of my backup TNA pick was taken. I do really like Jody Threat, but I'm trying to figure out like what suits our vibe on this roster the best. And you know what? I've liked her for a long time, and she just came back, and she, I think she has a ton of presence. I think she, at this point, she's been working for a while, so she's got lots of experience behind her. And I would love to see them, like I would love to see her do a big run in TNA now that she's returned. I'm gonna go ahead and snap up Tasha Steelz. I've liked Tasha for a really long time. Like back when we had the Ring of Honor podcast, I used to talk all the time about how like someone needs to really like that ROH needed to sign Tasha like legitimately, or someone needed to sign Tasha legitimately because she had a ton of chops. And so I think she has a great personality. I think she's really fun on camera. So I'm gonna grab Tasha Steelz.
Yeah, she's back and she's not doing. It's not clear yet where she's gonna be positioned in this return. She's feuding with Zaya Brookside right now, but they've been kind of going back and forth. So it doesn't seem like Tasha's like in the title picture, although she's the kind of person who could be on a moment's notice. You could make her, she could be champ this summer and it wouldn't be surprising.
She can be a credible threat in TNA or elsewhere. And I think that's a valuable person to have on your roster because she is consistent. Like she is like consistently good. She can play face. She can play heel. She just has a lot of presence and can like really vamp it up when she wants to. Like she's fun in a tag team, especially depending on the partner. Yeah. So I just think she's a really good hand to have on your stable.
All right, Meg, your pick number 4 in either WWE, TNA, or the Indies.
I think I'm going to go for my Indies pick next. And I'm going to go for Jamaikai. I just think, like, looks-wise, she's just got such a unique look that, like, nobody else has got. But in terms of her in-ring stuff, I really like a kind of blend of almost, like, mixed martial arts and pro wrestling. And I'm just super impressed every time I see her wrestle. So, and also, this will kind of make sense later, but I think she could have some good stuff with somebody else I'm going to be picking in another category. So, yeah, I'm going to go for Jamaikai. Going off the back of that, I'm going to do my WWE pick next. Vision for this, so go with me. My WWE pick is going to be Shayna Baszler. Incredible outing at Bloodsport last weekend, and as is the way with WWE, I feel like her main roster run has not really tapped into her full potential, but I think her NXT run was really, really good, and again, I think she kind of blends that mixed martial arts style with professional wrestling really, really well, and I'm kind of envisioning her as like my monster heel, because I feel like her moveset kind of lends to that kind of blurring the lines between kayfabe and reality, and could kind of go into that like, is she doing this for real, like kind of, you know, what's happening? So yeah, and I think, you know, her and Jamaica could probably just like hit each other for half an hour and it would be really, really good. So yeah, snapping up Shayna for my WWE pick.
Smart 1-2 punch there. That's a really good pairing as well.
That's such a good pairing, and I agree with everything you said about her runs so far in WWE. She does do way better as like that like heel that'll just rip you limb from limb. So like that's a really good pick. I'm a little jealous.
Like this was the only one I didn't really agonize over that much. Like I think just because Bloodsport was really fresh in my mind, and like obviously with me being ahead of time when I was watching the collective last weekend, I kind of was almost like picking my shots a bit with what I wanted to watch in what order. And the match of Bloodsport was like top of my list. I was like, that's the first thing I got to watch, because I was so excited to see her in her environment. Do you know what I mean? Like she in her natural habitat almost, which is that blend of MMA and pro wrestling. I genuinely think her NXT one was an all-timer. And I think if she was given the right opportunity, she could be a real monster. Do you know what I mean? She could be really, really terrifying. And yeah, I think she's fantastic. The only other person I was thinking of for WWE was Tegan Nox, but I think that's just because she's like from down the road from me, so I had like a bit of a hometown thing going on. I do think she's amazing, and I do think again she's not being utilized to her full potential, because she was incredible on the indies here, you know, like before she was signed. But yeah, I have to go for Shayna because of the vision.
I have to say real quick, like with Shayna, the reason I love her so much is she's like to me like almost the current like gold standard of this is how you make technical wrestling and submission wrestling entertaining, because she does. So
yeah, and it's a hard thing to do, you know, like particularly, you know, not to be like, well, back in my day or anything, but like now, you know, there's all this sort of like high flying offense and really like innovative offense, and there's a space for everything, you know, but to make that kind of mat wrestling technical wrestling really, really exciting is. And she worked well with people. Do you know what I mean? Like she had really great matches with basically everybody on her NXT run. And because I've got Athena on my roster as well, we already know she can have a great match with Athena, because she did at TakeOver Philly, I want to say. So yeah, my theme for my roster is just like matches I'd really like to see personally. So I'd love to see her full potential Shayna and full potential women's champion Athena have another go, not under the WWE banner, and just let them go. Do you know what I mean? Give them a half hour main event slot, and it'll be the best match on the card easily.
Em, you've got AEW or Japan?
Yeah, I'm going to take Willow.
Dang, damn it!
I felt like I was risking losing Willow if I didn't go this round with her, so I'm grabbing Willow Nightingale. Look, I think Edith has fantastic babyface energy and always will, but like I just think every roster can really value from having somebody who can just like bring the face energy beyond anything else. But I feel like my roster so far, the vibe is just like big loving presence so far, even of my heels. Like I just feel like I'm picking a lot of like kind of beloved people. So gonna roll with that and grab Willow and let her do. And I also don't have like a powerhouse, so I need one, and she is one, so done. Like she's a powerhouse that can like powerbomb people with a big friendly grin on her face, and it's just a wonderful combination. And you never get that with powerhouses. You really don't get that like bubbly, bright, like I'm gonna slam you through something and look so cheerful about it. So yeah, she's my pick. Grabbing her up. Sorry, Jess.
And Tasha and Kylie are so small too.
Right. I would love to see them tag. I'd love to see them fight. Yeah, absolutely.
It's funny because I was talking with someone a little while ago about China and about how she was this very much a powerhouse because that was the moves that she did. But like her personality was so gentle and soft, you know, and her voice was so soft. And I was saying, you know, it would have been so nice to see that side of her when she was still wrestling. And I know like she had her little thing with Eddie Guerrero and everything, but I was like, we need what I personally would like to see anyway is, you know, female wrestlers who, as you say, are powerhouses, but can do it with this soft, bubbly personality and just be really, really sweet about it while they're doing these massive moves. So she's incredible. And she was on my AEW list as well.
Yep. Yep. She was my pick. So.
Well, Tess, you have an AEW pick and you have an independent pick.
Yeah. I'm going to have to go with my AEW pick because two of my three I had down are already gone. So I'm going to go with Julia Hart. It's the vibe she gives. Something just tells me, like, her and Liv Morgan could, like, have an all-time match with their styles together in the ring. Mm-hmm. So that was I'm going to have to go with Julia, man. She really came out of, like, her shell with joining House of Black. For me, I barely even remember what she was before, and it sounds bad, but, like, I obviously have a very niche, I like punk, I like the alternative style, I like it when people can be dark, but also, like, I could see Julia, if she ever were to become a babyface, like, being able to keep that darkness, but still having, like, that babyface to her, kind of like how Rhea is right now. So, yeah, I'm going to have to grab Julia Hart.
And she's, like, surpassed the rest of House of Black at this point, hasn't she? Like, let's just be completely honest about it.
The House of Black are her lackeys. They're her lackeys at this point. She's the face of House of Black, in my honest opinion. Like, if it weren't for her, the, like, eyes that got brought to House of Black because of her joining. Like, I didn't even know who House of Black was, or nor did I care until Julia got wrapped in. So, she's got a presence that is worth grabbing.
I was skeptical. I'll admit, I was skeptical, especially when they like first like turned her and did, and they first had her join House of Black. I was like, I'm interested to see what they do with this. I'm curious, but like, talk about someone who really came into her own and fast. Really took on the gimmick, really made the most of it, really made it her own in a way that I wasn't sure she'd be able to right off the bat, and. As a result, like, I've been really compelled by what they've been able to do with her as TBS Women's Champion, even if I was, like, kind of, like, overall wishing the belt had gone in a different direction.
Right.
In general, I think it's been a really, like, good story for her, and it's been interesting. This, like, it's been really impressive to see her growth in the last, like, in the last year.
Mm-hmm. I'd agree.
And I think as well, it can kind of be tough to elevate a championship in AEW sometimes because there are about 50 of them. So for her to be able to do what she's done with the TBS Women's Championship is just amazing. And yeah, like House of Black are her lackeys now. Do you know what I mean? She's the leader really now, if we're being honest about it.
Okay, stressful time. My last two picks. Rounding out the whole thing. This is where I blow it. This is where I give up the whole draft and I go from using my brain and playing with my brain and I start playing with my heart instead and people don't agree with me. Fudge. I got WWE and I got wild card and I'm looking at the board and it's like WWE is empty and you know, Bianca Belair is there, and Jade Cargill's there, and Becky Lynch, and Charlotte, and Bayley. But I'm going with Roxanne Perez. Maybe I'm biased because you know she's been on the show before, and so we'll always have a soft spot for her. Maybe it's because like you know, I always loved somebody who was a lifelong childhood wrestling fan because I was. But I'm thinking of this my roster and I'm thinking I want to build like you know for the future I want a roster that's going to be continue to grow and grow and evolve and get stronger over the next 5 years and somebody young like Roxy who you know can easily be like one of your top baby faces or as we've seen recently can play heel if she needs to and Yeah, I think she just has, like, she's somebody else that you can build around for the next 10 years, the next 15 years. She can do so many different things. She can run her own stable someday. She can be a tag wrestler, a singles wrestler, wherever. And matches with her and, like, Masha, her and Mayu, like, sign me up.
It's crazy to me that she was born in 2001. Like, I just, like, it blows my mind that there are wrestlers now born in 2001. Do you know what I mean? She is incredible, though. She is amazing.
Yeah.
And then my last pick to finish off my my board. Same thing. I'm going with my heart over what I think the population, you know, the populace might choose some other people, because I got my last pick is wild card. So again, any of these people, any of the aforementioned people I mentioned in WWE, any of the top stars in AEW or in Japan who haven't been picked yet, I could pick. But I'm just going with my heart, and I'm going with Trisha Dore.
Ooh, that is a good pick.
Oh, that's a really good pick.
If you don't really follow the indies, or if you haven't spent a lot of time, like, with Trish, I understand why you could look from the outside. Like, if you're only an AEW or ROH viewer, you could be like, what a dumb pick. She's, like, 0-7 on AEW television. She, like, only wins 1 out of 3 times in ROH. They're clearly not doing anything with her in ROH. I think she lost in the first round of the TV title tournament. But I don't know. Whatever it is about her, she speaks to me. I find her so charming, so gorgeous, so cool in the ring, from her gear to, like, everything about her. I just think she's so cool. She's easily one of my top 3, like, favorite wrestlers going these days, and I'm like, give her more screen time, give her some story time. You know, some time to tell some stories, give her some, give her, like, some real campy, like, old-school angles, you know, where, like, they're fighting in catering, or somebody, I don't know, you know, it's just, like, the really dumb angles where it's, like, somebody stole my necklace, and now we're gonna fight about it, or, like, I saw you at the restaurant, and you ate the last slice of chocolate cake. Something just really dumb and campy and cheesy, and I feel like she would have a lot of fun with that sort of stuff too.
Anyone who doesn't understand anyone who doesn't understand the appeal of Trisha Dora just has not seen Trisha Dora. Like, that's plain and simple. You haven't been watching the right things. You've been only seeing what you've seen on ROH. So if you are listening to this and you're perplexed, then do some research. Go watch any of the matches that she did as defending champion of the Pan-African Diaspora Championship. There you go. You can start there. And you're welcome, because now you have a new favorite wrestler.
All right, we are into the final round of the draft. Tess, your independent pick.
This was my hardest pick. I'm sure Em can understand. The independents were really hard for me to pick. I'm still torn between two people. The one is definitely kind of like you, Harley, where I'm like, I just have to because my heart says so, even though it may not make sense logically. And my other choice would make way more sense logically to put in my draft pick. So I'm very torn. But I think I'm going to follow my heart on this last one, because it was so hard for me to pick the indie wrestler. And I'm going to go with Jocelyn Navarro. Has got to get my pick, because she's going places, and I'm glad that people are starting to see her. I will say my backup was Sunny Kiss, but I have to go with Jocelyn Navarro.
Hell yeah. Great pick, and I'm hoping after this weekend more eyes are on Jocelyn. She had a great weekend during Mania weekend. I'm really excited for more people to pay attention to Jocelyn.
She's just got this, like, she can play a face. Her heel is just nasty in the best way possible. I remember when she turned heel last year at AIW, and, like, I was the only me and my wife were the only people in that arena. Like, we cheered. Like, we were so excited to see her turn heel. She's got this attitude about her. She's just to be honest, she's a short powerhouse. That, like, in her comedy that she can bring to the ring, because she doesn't expect people to pick her up, because she's usually the one throwing people. Her, like, little screams, I think she did them at For the Culture, were so funny. She has very good comedic timing, but she will, like, break a person. Like, completely make her presence known in a ring. So, she's going places.
All right, M, your final pick is a Joshi wrestler.
That's right. I had too many, especially after getting to finally see TJP wrestlers in person this past weekend, two weekends ago in Philly, because TJPW ran not one but two shows alongside of GCW for one of them, for the Collective. So got to see a ton of TJP talent who I just adore. And I'm having such a hard time because between two people and they are not taken, neither of them are taken yet. I need another power person. I need someone who offers a little counterpoint to some of the more like flying and technical wrestling that I have on here. I am bringing in the big guns. I'm bringing in Miyu Yamashita. Miyu is not a flashy presence necessarily. I think she has a very dry sense of humor that can come across in when she does post match promos, but what she doesn't have as flash, she brings in just sheer badass presence. And she's got kicks and strikes that will send a motherfucker to the ground. Gonna go with Miyu. I've gotten to see her wrestle in person a couple of times now. Enjoy Wrestling brought her in for a match, and that was just like a little like present for me specifically. And then getting to see her again several times throughout the Collective weekend was just another gift. So yes, snapping her up, TJP royalty at this point, Miyu Yamashita.
Great pick.
Just fucking love her. And there are bigger personalities in TJP. There's Maki, there's bigger like figures, but her presence still looms large. Like, she's still such a huge part of that promotion and one of their aces. Her power is undeniable, and her presence, while understated as compared to some of the bigger characters, is still big. Like, she still carries herself big in those moments, in the ring and in her entrances. She still has presence. It's just not, it's not loud, it's not flashy, but it's felt.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go, well, my other ones were taken, just FYI. But my pick is going to be Giselle Shaw. I love someone who brings that diva energy into the 21st century, and she does that in spades. And in terms of my roster, I'm imagining her in matches with Mina, because I think they could have some really fun matches, because they've both got like a lot of personality. I just think they'd have some really great stuff. But I think she could also kind of do the comedic stuff, you know, with like powerhouses and, you know, people like Shayna. And yeah, I think she's great. So I'm going to go for Giselle Shaw.
Wow. So you chose nobody from the UK for your draft.
I know, I kind of felt bad, but I almost went with Dani Luna for my impact pick, because she's done so much work on the South Wales circuit as well. Like, I think every show I went to here last year, she was on. Like, I've seen her over the last year more than some members of my own family. But I think I was just thinking in terms of my roster, she's kind of got that powerhouse style, and I've got Shayna, I've got Janai Kai. And I was, yeah, thinking of the kind of like the flashy off kind of thing between her and Mina. So, yeah, sorry to the UK. It's not that we don't have good wrestlers, because we do. Just none of them made my list. That's all.
All right. So that is it. The draft is set. The transfer window has been closed. We are looking at final lineups of Meg, Shayna Baszler, Athena, Giselle Shaw, Micah, Mina Shirakawa, and Shanai Kai, with Renee Paquette doing backstage interviews. M has a roster of Io Sky, Kairi Sane, Willow Nightingale, Tasha Steeles, Miyu Yamashita, and Edith Surreal, with Val Capone on the call. Tess has Julia Hart, Jordan Grace, Maxie Impaler, Jocelyn Navarro, Rhea Ripley, and Liv Morgan, with Samantha Irvin introducing them. And I have Roxanne Perez, Mercedes Moné, Masha Slamovich, Killer Kelly, Mayu Iwadani, and Trisha Dora, with Veda Scott in the booth.
Wow.
Hey, dang.
Our rosters are all awesome.
They are. This is really tough, even though I built my own roster.
There are so many. Just, I mean, look at all the names, and then think of all the names that got, that didn't get. Like, I know this is stupid for someone who co-runs a women's wrestling podcast to say, but, like, there's a lot of really great women.
Yeah, we could do a draft with
there
10.
Are.
We could have 10 people in this draft, and we'd still, like, wouldn't run out of great names.
No, you really wouldn't. I mean, it gets tricky when you are pulling from a particular roster, and that roster itself is limited by various factors, like we talked about with TNA. But, like, even then, it's not even fair, really, to complain about that, because it's like there's still really dynamite talent in that limited roster. You just have to kind of rethink about how you're going to utilize that person.
I feel like mine's a bit chaotic just because, like, I just was like, what if I just picked people I liked? Like, I didn't go, I was listening to, like, last year's episode, and everyone was like, oh, I've got, like, a theme, I've got, like, an idea that, like, runs through it all, and I was just picking people that I liked. And, like, it's kind of a bit contrasting, because on the one side you've got, like, Shayna and Janai Kai, on the other hand you've got, like, Giselle and Mina. But, you know, variety is good in a roster, I think, so I'll go with that.
Eclectic, I think, could be really useful, though, in that, like, it can be such a magical thing of, like, testing out different chemistry and, like, brand new pairings, brand new feuds, like, figuring out. And when you go with a more direct, like, theme of, like, I think one time my roster was built around the idea of, like, just all, like, monsters and powerhouses. That's cool. But, like, if you actually imagine, like, what that ends up shaping up like, it could be fairly redundant or get a little boring. I think when you do play with your favorites and your favorites are an eclectic mix, you end up with something really exciting to think about.
Yeah, and, like, this is the entire roster, do you know what I mean? This is, like, a starting point for, like, other talent. It's, yeah, like, the kind of top names that you've got, you know? So it's buildable, but it's how you start your building blocks is, you know, down to individual preferences.
My challenge to you listeners, we just said these are our 24 picks that we've made. They're off the board. Taking these 24 names out of contention, build your own 7-person roster using people who aren't on this list. Your Biancas, your Baileys, your Becky Lynch's, your Julia's, your Tommy's, all those people. Build your own 7-person roster and hit us up in the comments. Twitter, Instagram, Great Glitter Pod. Let us see who you come up with for your roster, not including any of these names, and I bet it's just as good. As for who won, which is really what's most important here, that will be up to you on Twitter. If this episode is out now and you're listening to it, the poll should be up. Go to our Twitter, twitter.com/gritglitterpod, and vote for which one of us you... All four of us have our rosters. We've all got a 1-hour weekly show, and it just happens to be airing at the same time. Different channels, but it's all airing at the same time. Which one are you watching first? Which one are you DVRing? Go vote. Let us know. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, or Patreon at Great Glitter Pod. If you support us on Patreon, you get a weekly newsletter, you get bonus podcasts, you get archived podcasts, and we take your money and we use it to support more women's wrestling. Tess, where can people support you online?
You can find me on Women's Wrestling Watch of Neo. I'm everywhere. I'm www of Neo. And my personal account is Mohawk Mosher. You'll see me traveling around all kinds of indie events there.
And Meg, where can they support you?
You can find me on Twitter at TheMegJames. The link to buy my zine is also in my bio. I've got a few left. Don't all run at once because I haven't got that many. But you can buy my zine from there. And yeah, I'm just on Twitter talking about wrestling and sometimes other things too.
Thank you so much for joining us, you two, for the first time. That's very exciting. We'll definitely have you back. Well, if you win, we'll definitely have you back in the future. If you lose, we might have you back. We'll see. If you get, like, if you come in fourth out of the four drafts, then I don't know, maybe your opinion's not that valid.
Or maybe
Oh, wow.
Hey, maybe if we have people who aren't, like, going to beat us consistently, then one of us will actually win.
Yeah, it's true. I don't vote for me out of pity, folks, but I really want to win.